Our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 45, and that can be found on page 1026 of the Pew Bibles. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
A mother is very special. Isn't that true? There's no one more special than a mother. My mum was very special. I came along late in life. I've got two older brothers, and they're like a generation above me. Both my brothers had left home before I was born. My eldest brother's got a baby. I had a baby 1 year old before I was born, so I've got a niece who's older than me. So it was always very, very strange, but I came as a bit of a surprise, maybe a shock. My mum always said, though, I was just beginning to get a bit of freedom, and then you came along, but you've been a blessing. So I choose to think that it wasn't an accident, but that God had a plan, and I know you feel that as well. I brought her lots of joy, and I'm sure I gave her lots of concerns, because that's what a parent does. You go through your children's life stages, every little one, from their tiny in your hands until, well, you never lose that responsibility. You're constantly thinking about them, constantly worrying about them, constantly encouraging them, financing them, scolding them, whatever it might be. You can never lose that. But that's the great joy of being a parent, especially being a mother. There's no one like a mother. I love my mom so much. And unfortunately, she died such a long time ago, which is great. But mothers are very important, and we're looking at a mother today. She's not a mother when we first meet her. She's just a young girl called Mary. Some people think she was probably 13 or 14 years old. Some other people think she's maybe 18 or 19 years old, but she was a teenager of some sort. She was young. And we first meet her, and I don't know, maybe she was carefree, or what a teenager might be. But something is about to happen that is going to change her life completely, forever. It's going to turn her world upside down. She's going to have an encounter with an angel, Gabriel, God's most important messenger. And he's going to come with some amazing news. Gabriel, we meet long time before in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Gabriel appears to Daniel, who is an old man by this stage, and God has given him certain visions, and Gabriel comes along to tell him what those mean. Daniel's scared stiff, says he's terrified, and he falls on the ground, face down. But Mary doesn't do that. But Gabriel comes along to tell her some amazing news. "Greetings to you. You are highly favored." Wouldn't that be great to hear? "The Lord is with you." In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. Aren't those fantastic words to hear? Wouldn't you love to hear that? The Lord is with you. Don't be frightened. And we've been looking at Joshua recently, and that's exactly the words that he heard, where God said to him, I am with you, so be strong and courageous. And Mary was going to need to be strong and courageous. And it's the same thing that God says to us today. It is no different. These words come along to build up Mary. There's going to be really challenging times lie ahead. Difficult times. Scary times. But these words would never leave her. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored. If God spoke those words to you, how would it make you feel? What difference would it make to your life? The Lord is with you. Wouldn't it change your total outlook, the way you approach things, the things that you worry about? Wouldn't it change everything? And that's what he has said to you. As we approach Christmas, you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. And so if you love and follow Jesus today, God is with you. Those words are true for you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. But her whole world's going to be turned upside down. Verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. How is this going to happen? Verse 35. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible for God. This was completely overwhelming for Mary. We can read this in a book, but look what is, you're going to have a baby. How will this happen? The power of the Most High will overwhelm you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you're going to have a child who will be the Savior of the world, who will be a king. You'll call his name Jesus because he will be a Savior. He will rescue his people. Wouldn't this be overwhelming? Such news, such news. How could you take it all in? So young. So scary. But she believed. Mary was a believer. Verse 38, may it be to me as you have said. She believed, and her belief led to obedience. Lord, whatever you want to do with me, you do it. This is overwhelming, but have your way in my life. A young girl, unmarried, Gabriel. Lord, may it be to me as you have said. This is belief. A belief that leads to obedience and a willingness to accept God's will. Belief without obedience is worthless. The devil believes in God. The devil knows Jesus died on the cross. He believes, but he's lost. And Jesus said to some people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you won't do what I ask you to do? Belief without obedience is empty, meaningless. It's deceptive to ourselves. But for Mary, she believed. It's not what Abraham did. When God said to Abraham, I want you to leave this place, go to a land that I will show you. I'm going to give you a family as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. And Abraham believed, and he went. Belief that leads to obedience. And that's what Jesus said he'll be looking for when he comes back. He said, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? That's not a faith that does not move. That's not a faith that does nothing. That is not a faith that is not obedient. That is an active, living, vibrant, scary kind of a faith. Will the Son of Man find that? This is most beautifully illustrated in the wedding at Cana. You know that lovely wedding where Jesus attended, and Mary was there, and she said to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And Jesus said, "Woman, what has that got to do with me?" And she didn't get into a debate with him. She simply said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Isn't that great? They've run out of wine. Do whatever he tells you to do. I'm off. But that's what she had done. God has spoken to her and she said, "You do what you want to do in my life. I'm willing." So to the servants, do whatever they tell you to do. And what did Jesus tell them to do? Take these jars. Fill them up to the brim. And they did. And those huge stone water jars were turned into the best wine anyone had ever tasted. Wine filled to the brim. Imagine if she had said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you," and they said, "Nobody wants to drink water. I'm not going to bother." What is the point? The disappointment at that wedding? No wine. Or what if they said, "Let's fill it up halfway"? They filled the jars up halfway. Well, they would have had half as much wine. But no, they did exactly what he said. Filled them up to the very top. And it turned into the best wine ever. And that's how Mary lived her life. It was a full to the brim kind of life. It was a complete abandonment and obedience to what God said. Fill me up. Use me any way you want to. I'm yours. I'm available. Not half-hearted, not reluctant, just use me. And that's what God is looking for in you. He wants you to have a full-to-the-brim life, not a half-full life, not an empty life, but a life that is full. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life in all its fullness." And only he can do that. And that's what he wants us to have. These great words that Jesus speaks about how we live out our life, how we show love, and what that looks like. Just this lovely picture. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If we're reluctant to follow him, if we don't really want to do what we know he wants us to do, well, maybe the measure will be used that we use. But he wants us to have a filled to the brim experience. And that is what Mary had. He wants us to obey. That is what Mary did. Without obedience, you cannot see God at work. Abraham had to go to see that it was true. Mary had to obey to see that God was indeed with her. And it's true for you and for me. When we're obedient, we will see God at work. We can trust him. But Mary's life is full of difficult circumstances. Look at her. She's young. She's pregnant before she's married. The scandal of that, the shame of that, what was going through her mind, what was going through the people and her family and the thoughts. And we know what Joseph wanted to put her away and all of this stuff going on, and she was going to have to deal with. And then Simeon's prophecy. You remember when he was just young, they took him into the temple to present him to the temple. Listen to what Simeon said. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God. Many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And look what he says to Mary. "And a sword will pierce your soul." Isn't that lovely words for a mother with a little baby? Here's this child. "And a sword will pierce your soul." And then we get a beautiful glimpse of what it was like to be a child, or what it was like to be Christ's childhood. You know, he's 12 years old. Luke 2, you remember, they were there for the festival in Jerusalem, and they were all going back home again, and suddenly Mary and Joseph, they're looking for Jesus, they can't find them, because they would have traveled in family groups, so this was not unusual. He could have been with other members of the family, but suddenly they realized, where's Jesus? They had to go back and look for him. They found him in the temple. And they said, "Son, we've been looking for you, we've been worried sick, why have you done this to us? Oh, to be a mother. Why have you put us through this? It's a great picture, isn't it? One little glimpse of Jesus' childhood. And then Nazareth. Do you remember when he was starting his ministry, he went back to Nazareth, Mary's hometown. And he goes into the synagogue and he takes the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he begins to speak it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, release to the captives, set the prisoner free. And then he sat down. And everybody thought, wow, that's brilliant. He read that really beautifully. Those are profound words. And then suddenly the mood changed. Hey, this is Joseph's son. He's the son of a carpenter. He says this has been fulfilled today in your hearing. Who does he think he is? The mood changed. The crowd turned against him. They wanted to get the hold of him and they tried to throw him off a cliff. They wanted to kill him. But Jesus moved on. But Mary lived here. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in that town with something like that going on? The looks, the gossip, the neighbors. This was her hometown. What was it like for Mary? How did she continue to live there? But throughout all of it, she knew, just as Joshua did, that the Lord was with her. Those promises had to keep coming back. That is what gave her the strength to get through all those times. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You can trust him. She knew that trusting didn't mean that things would go smoothly. But she knew that no matter what happened, the Lord was indeed with her. And so it is for us as well. He is with us when the going gets tough. He was with Joshua. He was with Mary. He was with Abraham. He is with you. And even when things get bad, exactly, Jesus was to pick up on those kind of ideas, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of false things against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you when people don't get you. And Mary knew that she was blessed, and she sang her song, the Magnificat, and over again she talked about how amazing God was. She knew that she was blessed. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, she said. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has taken notice of the lowly servant. For the mighty one is holy. He shows mercy. His right arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes. He has filled the hungry. He has helped the servant Israel. He. A worship to God who had chosen a little girl to do something absolutely amazing. We see Mary in lots of different scenarios. But most tragically, and most painfully, we see her at the foot of the cross, watching her son die. I had an aunt who had 5 children, and she watched every one of her children die before she did. It was tragic because it's not meant to be that way. But in this situation, it was meant to be that way. But it didn't take away the pain. A sword had pierced her soul when she saw her son dying an agonizing death on a cross. And that's what we're going to remember as we have communion shortly. But beautifully and lastly, we see her at the very beginning of the early church in Acts chapter 1. When it was all finished, when Jesus had returned to heaven, they all joined together constantly in prayer, praying, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There she was, praying for this new venture, this new church, for people like you and me, Mary, the mother of Jesus, who the angel Gabriel has said, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And through all of that life, with its pain and challenges, and no doubt its joys as well, like any mother, but she knew that the Lord was with her. She knew. She wouldn't know what would happen in the days to come. How could she? But she knew that the Lord was with her.